Welcome to Believers Academy series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results. My name is Randa Lee, and we are so excited that you're here with us. This first lesson, Partnership is a Divine Connection, is based on God's Word that says you have a strong anointing to share with others in the work of God. Are you interested to learn more? I am. But before we get started, I want to point out study tools that we have developed to help you get the most out of this lesson. They are available for you to download right there on your screen. And they include a study guide, an action plan, and even a review so you can test yourself at the end. At any time during the presentation, you can pause to look up the scriptures, write notes, and even go back so that you can catch every point. Well, I think we're ready to get started. Let's join our teachers, Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We open our hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you and we praise you for it. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me again today in welcoming Brother Bill Winston to this broadcast? Praise God.
Good to be here.
Bill, thank you for coming and doing this with me and with and for our partners and our audience. We just really do appreciate your life and ministry, sir.
You know, we've been a partner for over, I believe, about 25 or 30 years.
Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Partnership is big
in
the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
Because we are connected by what Scripture calls divine connections. Mm. And we are compacted together as a body by the supply of the joints or the joinings where we're divinely connected together. Praise God. Mm. And when we realize that and listen to God and we allow Him to join us in divine connections and so forth, it increases the anointing in both of us.
Absolutely.
It's a big thing, man. It is a big thing. When people, the congregation of your church and the partners that you have in the field, when they connect with you and they assist you in your job, then the anointing that's on your life in ministry
back on them.
Comes on them.
Yes, it does.
That's the way God planned and intends to distribute the anointing throughout the body of Christ.
And that's the kingdom way, Brother Gordon.
Oh, yes.
See?
Yeah, it is. See,
that's the kingdom way.
The word accomplice, it's really it's a concept word. Now, when someone knowingly helps another commit a crime or a wrongdoing,
accomplice. Okay.
Then you're just as guilty as they are if you assisted. Well, now, the same thing can be true over on the positive side. When you're an accomplice to the preaching of the gospel,
oh, my goodness.
Then we're guilty together. So, in other words, when the accomplice to a crime gets the same punishment as a guy that held the gun. Well, in the kingdom of God, the same anointing and the same reward comes to the person that assisted as the one that did the preaching.
And see, I think that's the way God goes around the world system of it being all this intellectual and so forth. The anointing can come on you and supply something that, I tell you, I wouldn't have to go through years of learning trying to make that thing happen. And God can place an anointing on me as I sow into this, as I am partnered with this. That same anointing comes on me so I can enable me to do it.
That's a Bible truth, because Joseph had the blessing of the Lord functioning in his life.
Yeah.
Now, we know that the anointing, and this, by the way, is right in line with what we talked about all week, because we're talking about the law of confession and there are spiritual laws involved. And this is part of the functioning of the laws of the kingdom. And they work all the time, every time, for anybody that'll put it to work according to the Word. Now, here Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, he was just a young boy.
Yeah.
Now, he was raised the youngest in his family, and his daddy held him as his favorite. He never had to do anything.
He sure didn't.
Now he's sold as a slave. All of a sudden, man, I mean, all the circumstances are reversed on him. But the blessing of the Lord prospered him so that he was outstanding in the eyes of his owner, his master. God taught him through the blessing, through the anointing, how to manage
a ranch,
farm, how to be the manager for a major field officer, a general in the army. How he had to learn all that, but God taught it to him to the point he made the man so rich that he turned everything he had over to him. And he prospered so he got to where he didn't even know what he was worth anymore. But then, through no fault of his own, he got thrown into prison.
Yes, exactly.
He didn't stop functioning in prison and get mad at God and all that. If he had, he'd have died in that hellhole.
Exactly right.
Now, but he just kept following God. And God taught him how to run a prison. He became the assistant warden of one of the worst prisons in the world.
And he had never been in that environment.
He never knew nothing about a prison. That's the furthest thing. And particularly an Egyptian prison. No way. He's a little Jew boy that lived back over here in the country somewhere. What did he know about all this? He didn't. But God taught him, and his knowledge. You remember what it said about Daniel and the three Hebrew children?
Yes, indeed.
10 times smarter than the smartest people in the land. Well, how'd they get 10 times smarter? Because God is 10 times smarter than anybody or anything. So they're tapping into His knowledge, and as they went, see, you can get all this information. You can gather it all up in all these books and all these teachers, and don't know God. You ain't educated yet.
I call it dark knowledge.
Well, it is dark knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because
without
the wisdom of what to do with the knowledge,
it has no light.
Then the knowledge is not worth much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just trial and error.
Mm.
Well, now he comes out, he winds up through the anointing.
Yes, that's what we talk about.
Through the anointing, Joseph wound up interpreting a dream and became prime minister of a superpower.
Wow.
All before he was 30 years old.
My goodness.
Now think about that. And that little boy, what did he know about all that?
Nothing.
But he knew more about running a nation than the Pharaoh
that
did.
That he sure did, didn't he? But see, notice now, God took him around a system. I mean,
God didn't use that system to do it at all, did he? No, I see what you're saying.
No, sir.
Yeah.
See, and this Babylonian system tries to get a person to do things without God, see. I figured it out, Brother Copeland. I said, wait a minute. If this anointing, I watched Moses and God said, I'm going to put what's on you onto this bunch out here, and they're going to be able to counsel these people. I said, now, if God is doing that in the Old Testament, He's doing something even better, probably in the New Testament. I said, now, I'm not going to try to go through all the years that Brother Copeland was there. I said, I'm going to just sow into what He's got and receive what He's got so I can
save
some time.
Each generation should be doing that.
My goodness.
You take all that God taught the previous generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start at the top of that.
At the top of that.
And then go from there. The next generation should do that. Well, the world teaches all of their offspring that inheritance is some kind of an insult or something. Well, you didn't do nothing for yourself. I mean, why am I supposed to reinvent what my daddy did? I mean, that don't even make good sense. But it was done to put you at odds with your parents.
Gotcha.
To keep you from ever doing anything but being dumb.
Mm.
So the government can control you.
Mm.
Well, this Babylonian system of government is set up to control people. God's government is set up to exalt people.
It really is. And that's that kingdom mentality that I'm talking about. You keep that kingdom mentality, and it's about exalting. It's about lifting up. It's about us serving God and letting His wisdom, letting His ability be a part and lead the way in whatever we do. It don't make any difference.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to know, how does God want me to do this? Well, He said, all right, well, just sow into His ministry, because I've taught Him a lot. And let that anointing come on you so that you won't have to reinvent the wheel. Thomas Edison invented the first light bulb or whatever. We don't need to go back to that. Start where he left off.
Oh, yeah. And expand it.
And expand
it. And go on with it.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Man started out, Bill, equal with God.
Mm.
He had to fall. He had to become dumb.
My goodness.
Through sin and death. He started out up here equal with God. Now, God's grace said, how would you like to be back up here equal with me again?
Go.
Oh, how could we? Look what we've done. Oh, we've been this. Oh, no, 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 no. But grace says, no, I want to treat you like sin never happened. So He comes down here and gets you in order to exalt you back up here where Adam was through the last Adam, Jesus, that thought it not robbery to call himself equal with God. And He said, let that mind be in you. Well, boy, I tell you, religion gets so mad about that. They get so mad, they just...
But see, that, now we're talking about the law of confession. Look what God did in Genesis 11 where they were building the Tower of Babel. Now, we're talking about words now. And here they're trying to build this tower. And God said, I heard you say, He said, Babel.
That ended that.
That ended that. He came down and did something with their language, with their speech. And it stopped that building.
They had, up to that time, they only had one concept of speech. You conceive it. You believe it. You say it, it'll come to pass. That's all any human knew. And they continued to function in that. Now, there was not a confusion of thought. Everybody understood
everybody.
Now, God said confusion. He said one word. It became natural man's cap. No government, no empire, no anything has ever gone beyond that. It'll get up to a place, it'll hit the cap, and it'll fall just like a tower did.
Yes, indeed.
And what happened? Now, people have taught this from a natural standpoint, and they said, oh, all of a sudden, one's speaking French, one's speaking German.
If
that had been it, Bill, they could overcome that in a year.
That's true. They just sit down with one another and learn what one another's saying.
They got confused in their speaking. Now, this thing is still here today.
Yeah.
I can get up in front of a congregation, and I can say love. Now, I'm thinking one thing. They liable to be 50 different ideas about what I just said. Now, that's what happened to them.
Okay.
Now, that's the reason for the Word. You come back to this.
And it tells you.
And this is right.
Gotcha.
I can trust this. Mm-hmm. When I say love, mm-hmm. I mean God. Mm-hmm. God is love. Well, what is love? What is truth?
That's
Who
true.
Am I?
That's true.
You know, and when you finally get the answers to those questions and you get them out of here, there's no more argument about it. Now, you and I say love, we know exactly what we mean. Why? Because our thoughts come from here. And we've renewed our minds to love is God. Now, I had to be corrected and stop saying, I sure do love my new shirt.
Yeah.
Because now I've confused what love, the issue about love.
Mm. Got it.
I love people. I love God. Now that's put love on a high respect basis in my thinking and in my believing, and my spirit can feed on that and grow on it.
So
but if I love everything inside.
I just love this car.
Yeah, I love hamburgers. I love mayonnaise. Ooh, I love, you know.
That's the and confusion.
Now it's confused. And your spirit can't grow on that. So faith doesn't increase. Confusion causes fear, a fear environment in which to function. Because we've not been given a spirit of confusion, but what? Love, power, and a sound mind. We don't have the spirit of fear and confusion. Now, where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work.
Okay.
Now, our minds have been renewed to that. So we're very aware of the words we say to say the same thing that God said.
That's it.
Now, if I don't love my new car, what do I do where my new car is concerned? Let's go back to the truth. The scripture says, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now I know what it means when he also says, love not the things of this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, people come up with that deal in their religious ideas and said, you ain't supposed to have a new car because you can't love the things of this world. Well, see, that's confusion. God knew I needed a car. That's the reason he produced cars.
Brother Copeland, this concept that you're teaching right now is most needed in the body of Christ.
Oh, and it's very elementary and it's very simple, but very profound. Because in that environment, your spirit just started growing.
It does.
So now what about my new car? He gave it to me to enjoy.
He sure did.
You know what that gives me is peace. We were talking about it this morning over the breakfast table, Brother Bill and I were. And yesterday and today, and at the time that we're making these broadcasts, we had a dry spell here in North Texas, and our lake was down several feet. Well, I remember how we used to pray for rain. Oh, God, well, talk about the drought. And oh, God. And in all that talk, we never informed God of a thing. We struggled. But I learned from these same scriptures, as God corrected me, my spirit began to grow in this area. Just a few days ago, I was driving out my driveway. And I looked over there at the lake, and you can see the shoreline there where the lake gone down. And this time of year in December and January and so forth, it is usually wetter than it has been this year. I said, Lord, you give us all things richly to enjoy. I sure would enjoy a good old 3 or 4 days soaking rain and fill up my lake. And Bill, That wasn't but a few days ago.
And it's raining.
Right? It's rained for the last 2 days. Good old soaking rain. It hadn't rained hard. It just rained all the time.
And you didn't struggle with that.
Didn't struggle with it. I just told him I'd enjoy it. Well, he asked me a question I couldn't answer. I knew I was caught. Mm-hmm. when he asked you a question, you know you don't know the answer. He wouldn't ask you. He said, do I supply things to meet your needs? Well, yeah, he meets my needs according to his riches and glory. He said, wrong. He said, I give you things to enjoy. They meet your needs.
Oh,
but I didn't get them to you because you need it. When people base their prayer on needs,
that's exactly right.
You got to struggle.
That is a struggle, isn't it?
Because there's no faith much in it, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You thought you knew the Word on it, but didn't.
My goodness.
And the level that you knew the Word on was here, but when you found out He gives stuff to you because He loves you and He wants you to enjoy it, boy, I mean, your faith jump up here like this.
It's a whole different heart attitude.
And yeah, and you're not struggling at all. You say, sir, I sure would enjoy a new car. Glory to God. You better sweep out the garage because I'm telling you, it's on the way.
See, that's why over, and we'll cover this probably during the week, He said, I'll fight your battles for you. He says, the battle is not yours but God's. I mean, all in here. He's just talking about Him doing for us.
Never intended for us to struggle to win anything, because He always causes us to triumph. Write down this same line.
Yeah.
On tomorrow, because we're out of time for today. Mm-hmm. On tomorrow's broadcast, I'm hearing the Lord say in my heart, let's point out when and how David defeated Goliath.
Good. Very good.
Everybody thinks they know. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't. Amen. Because I thought I knew. I thought he defeated him with a slingshot.
No.
But he didn't.
Mm. Mm.
That's the end of our first lesson in the series, Speak God's Word, Get His Results. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching and that you've learned something that you can put into practice today. Don't forget about the free downloads located on your screen. Now, our next lesson is entitled Create Your Best Life. Kenneth Copeland and Bill Winston have a lot more to share with you in this series, so be sure to come back very soon. Until then, have a wonderful day, and remember, Jesus is Lord.